Have you ever booked an Airbnb and got denied and you're like, why me? I have the perfect profile. Or maybe you've stayed at an Airbnb and you've started to experience racism once you got there. Well, some of us do experience that. And this gentleman today has solved that problem for us. And it's a great place to book your next Airbnb. Like this episode and share it so others can find out the resolution. Welcome to Extremely Opinionated. I'm your host, Dr. Travis, and
Tiffany from Small Business Saturdays.
We hope that you can find something that you can utilize in your everyday life from our business owners who are thriving and successful today.
Hopefully we can apply their life experience, expertise, and overall information that they have to share with us in our lives to improve it for the better. Thanks for listening.
So happy to have you here today to talk about Noir. B&B, I really want to start there because this is something I think is big across America, but now you're saying this is like a global trend that people are doing. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, for sure. So Noir B&B actually, it came about as a result of discrimination. So I think most people have probably heard of Airbnb by now. And in late 2015, my co-founder had an incident where they'd rented an Airbnb for the A3C festival in Atlanta, the music festival. And while they were there, like, the cops kicked in the door, you know, came in with their guns and, you know, all that. And because the neighbors had called the police because they saw a bunch of, like, black men walking around the crib, you know, this was a nice house, and they thought that, I guess, they were robbing the place. So that's kind of what happened, right? So after that situation happened, he actually went viral. He being my co-founder, because he took a picture with the police officer, basically saying, hey, you know, we're just in the crib and the police officer, you know, came in and they broke in. So the picture actually ended up reaching Airbnb, like their official offices. So my co-founder at this time was thinking, okay, you know, if there can be like an Airbnb slash black section, like just something for, you know, black travelers to feel safe with, because if this can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. And like, you know, when you're calling Airbnb, it's not like, you know, especially this is like 2016, like this is at the end of, you know, so it's like 5 years ago, there's not like, it wasn't like a number, you know, to help you, or if like something happened to really, like, they weren't really thinking about that, you know. And you find that a lot in tech, I think, in general, that when people build tech products, they don't necessarily think about black people in mind when they build the products. So so following that, we're like, you know what, I linked up with him because I was just getting into the technology space. I'd come off of another startup that I built, but it had nothing to do with travel, but I was just getting into the technology space. So, you know, we kind of linked up because he's like, hey, you know, I know you're really big in technology. I have this like idea, like, you know, what do you think? And it was actually perfect because I was trying to get into travel because I've been traveling my whole life. And at that time, I just come back from living in Europe. So I lived in France for 2 years. So I was used to travel. I used Airbnb all the time. You know, I've been all over the world by that point, South America, Brazil, Middle East, Africa, Europe, like I've been all Asia. I've been all over the world at that point. So I was really used to Airbnb. I knew kind of how it worked in different countries because I used it everywhere I traveled to. But yeah, so he, you know, he's like, let's do it. And we did it. So we started it in 2016. You know, so and the whole idea was it was supposed to be a space for black people who want to get into the short-term property or the short-term real estate game to rent out their extra space, and then black travelers to feel safe enough that they have a space that they can rent when they go to different places. So that was the idea behind it.
I actually love that so much, and I wanted to know how you actually find these properties though.
Yeah, so I mean, well, since then it's been an education, right? And like how this industry actually works. So originally the idea was simple, right? We just go to people we knew, we put it on social media. If we'd stayed at an Airbnb, we'd contact, you know, like, and the person was black, like, hey, you know, we're doing this, what do you think, or whatever. So that was like, those were the grassroots days, those were the beginning days, right? So it was pretty simple then. Then you realize that, like, there's a bunch of just like things to think about and a bunch of things that you have to kind of worry about when you have a startup like that one. So finding property since has been a lot of people, what they do is they have like, you know, these networks. So it's like these these groups or companies that have a bunch of just like vacation rentals or short-term properties or that kind of thing. And then you can link with them, and that like increases your inventory. The only problem with this is that, again, as a startup with a social mission behind it, you start to realize there's some things you run into, because like if the people that you're working with, they don't necessarily care about discrimination on their properties. Like, that's not something that they're worried about. You're right back now in where you started in the first place. So now your platform is essentially what you were against to begin with. So it's been an education since then, for sure.
And what do you find is the best way to market your Airbnb?
The best way to market, so my answer is going to change obviously through the years. When I first started, I was like, oh, well, obviously the best way to market is by word of mouth, which is still true. I mean, that's still very, very much a true thing. But what word of mouth means has changed, I think, at least my opinion of what word of mouth means has changed in the last couple of years. So like, you know, the best way to do it, is just to get into spaces where your audience is or wants to be. And like, you know, I'm letting your company be in front of them that way. So, you know, again, like I said, it's been an education, because you kind of realize why people spend millions of dollars in marketing and you know, that whole thing, because it's really, really hard. Like, it's easy to get in front of your friends, right? Because that's just as simple as making a post. But it's really hard in getting that person that's never heard of you, never, you know, even thought of you, doesn't know nobody you know. Like, it's a much harder task at that point.
Yeah. And I really love that, because just the fact that minorities can travel and feel safe is so important, because you don't want to feel unsafe where you live and then go travel and feel worse and feel discriminated against. That's
exactly.
It will be terrible. Hopefully you can still see me with the sun coming out here.
Yeah, no, I see you perfectly. Yeah, you're good. Yeah, it's okay. A good angle.
I wanted to sit outside and wear my sun hat, because we're talking about travel today.
Sure.
So I'm just inspired by what you do. How did local travel genius come about?
Yeah, so Local Travel Genius was actually just like the next, I guess, evolution of my career, and like basically how I look to solve the problems in my community. So like I told you, we started New Airbnb, you know, we'd moved on with the company, we're growing the company. And at that point, you know, it's different pressures and different expectations. So we had investors that are coming in and they're looking to invest in the company and, you know, do different things like that. So when we started the company as co-founder and COO, I like basically ran the operations for the company. So that was took up all of my time. I did that, you know, full time. Like, that's just what I was doing. So luckily, after investment came, we were able to restructure the company a little bit. I was able now to become less hands on, and I had just more time to just do like something else or do what I wanted to do. And what I realized with Airbnb was that, like you just said, you want to get Black people to travel and feel comfortable when they're traveling and feel, you know, nice and safe when they're traveling. And I realized that that isn't necessarily only your accommodation. So everything from the way, like I said, I've been used to traveling for a long time. Like, you know, since I was a student, before, like I grew up living in different countries. So I've always been used to my passport and looking at different destinations. I felt really comfortable in places where nobody spoke my language. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just drop me in there and I'm just figuring, like, I felt comfortable there from a young age. So I realized that, okay, that's a privilege though, because a lot of Black people, when talking to them, so going around the Airbnb, I went around the country, like, you know, talking, speaking, conventions, that kind of thing, and meeting Black people. And what I'd hear often is, I'm really, really, really looking forward to traveling soon. I haven't traveled before. I just got a passport, but I'm scared. I don't know where to go. Or, you know, a bunch of my friends went to Dubai, so I think I'm just going to, like, get a hotel and go to Dubai, or, like, something like that, right? And it just hit me that when we're talking about travel, especially with Black people in the global diaspora, like, there's just so much space there that I think we need to realize. And there's so much power as well within the people that we just need to, like, connect with each other and kind of realize. So Local Travel Genius was an offshoot of that, because what it was when I told people, for example, hey, you know, you should think about going to Africa, you should go to Ghana, or you should go to Nigeria, or you should go to Egypt. People be like, yeah, that sounds dope, but it's expensive. Or that sounds dope, but, you know what I mean? But, like, I don't know nobody there. Is it safe? Like, you know, all this kind of stuff, right? And it's just like, all right, well, look, the purpose of Local Travel Genius is to put together networks, so local concierge networks. So if you're traveling, even if you're traveling a solo traveler, which right now we see Black women, of course, are the largest group of solo travelers in any demographic in the world. But you, if you're a solo traveler or if you're traveling with a group, you're more likely to go to a place that you've never been before or off the beaten path that you don't know before if you have a local concierge. So, you know, people have been doing this, you know, for a while. You hire a travel agent or you hire somebody like a travel provider usually or something like that, that they're called. And they, like, you know, try to tell you, okay, you know, when you get there, we'll hook up everything for you so you don't have to worry about, you know, feeling safe or worry about, you know, your accommodations and your transportation and where you're going to eat. And, like, we'll do the whole itinerary for you, right? So that exists already. But what I'm trying to do is with Local Travel Genius is a little bit ambitious. I want to add machine learning behind that. And I want to make it so that, you know, because, again, the Black traveler has been ignored for so long. Our destinations have been ignored for so long. A lot of people don't necessarily know that there's a great luxury vacation in it for you if you go to Ghana, for example. People just don't know. Or people think, oh, yeah, I mean, it'll be cool to go, but, I mean, I'm going to have to pay so much money. It's like, no, actually, you can put together a way, way cheaper and a more luxurious experience in your homeland, in that Black homeland, than, say, Bali, which a lot of people have been going to over the last 3 or 4 years. So, like, you know, really Local Travel Genius is twofold. It's, like I said, machine AI-driven learning to provide the best local concierge experience so people feel like locals wherever it is they go. And then number two is to open the world up a little bit to Black travelers and Black destinations alike so that, you know, we can meet each other.
I love that. There are so many travel agencies that really don't take into account racism and how we need to feel protected and safe. You can't just put us anywhere. We have to know exactly where we're going. So I think you just, you know, being that medium, you know, is great. So I wanted to talk about, because you brought up solo travelers, sometimes I like to take a trip by myself. So I wanted to know any advice you had for women or just people in general that travel alone, like any safety tips.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, coming from the U.S., it's funny though too, because coming from the States, right, like, you know, we think of safety in a certain way, but other countries really don't be unsafe, like, especially not like America, right? Like, you live in another country. Like, when I cracked the joke when I was living in Europe, that over, so I was in Paris, right? Paris as a city is larger than New York City, like, just the amount of people that live in Paris, right? But yet over the course of the year in Paris, less people were shot and killed in that year than die in one weekend in New York City. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it was just like, it was just opening my eyes, you know, just like how the things we do here in the States on a day-to-day is unsafe. But again, because, you know, we're familiar with it, is, you know, we know what to do. You know how to get about your day-to-day life without being, you know, unsafe, without being a target, without, you know, anything like that happening to you. So you just got to take that mindset when you go, you know, other places. The first thing is, like, I feel like people are scared to go to certain destinations, right? Or people, like you just said, like, I'm a solo traveler. What if something happens to me if I travel out there? I think the first thing is to kind of get rid of that fear and kind of, like, you know, really take into account where it is you're going, take into account, like, how safe has it been historically for, so as a woman traveler, for example, there's certain destinations you definitely need to watch out for because there've been instances of, like, violence against women when you go there. For example, I'm thinking India. I had a client one time who wanted to do a solo trip around India, and that was just something for her to watch out for, right? If you, you know, in the country there, if you're going to be there by yourself. Another thing is, that question that you're asked, how can I feel safe, is different for a white woman than it is for a Black woman, like you just talked about, depending on where you go. A white woman might say, you know what, I'm going to pick up, I want to go to Russia, I want to see, you know, the ballerinas, and I want to see, you know, the old cathedrals and all like that, and I'm going to take a solo trip to Russia, and she'll be perfectly safe. Whereas you, a Black woman, taking that solo trip to Russia might be a little bit different. So the first thing is, you know, take into account where it is that you're going. Take into account, like, you know, what historically that destination has meant for, you know, people like yourself. And then the next thing is just plan, you know, plan where it is you're going to stay, plan, you know, some key things that you're going to do when you're there. Let people know when you're going. Like, you know, don't. I've had clients that picked up and gone, and literally nobody back home knew, you know, where they were. So, you know, just stay away from things like that. You know, let people know where it is you're going. Have an itinerary out. I would say another big thing is always know. My tip to my women clients, always know about your communication situation. What I mean by that is, if you're going to a country, do you have, like, your phone plan? Is it an international plan? Like, if you land in the country and someone calls you, will your phone ring? Can you pick up the phone and call somebody at that country? And if not, that's okay. Are you going to figure, are you going to get a burner cell phone when you get there? Are you gonna get a SIM card that's like internet? Like, no, just figure out your communication situation, because at all times, I think it's important for you to be able to pick up your phone and text or call somebody if need be. So that's like my one big piece of advice outside of, you know where you're going.
Yeah, that's great advice. Like, especially I have a grandmother that actually lives in New York City now. And it's hard for me to tell her I'm traveling solo because she has that fear. Mm-hmm. Mentality. And like, I told her one time I was going to the beach by myself, and she was like, oh my god, are you gonna be okay? No, like, I'll be fine, it's just the beach, you know. But yeah, a lot of the older generation do have that fear because of how they were raised and how terrifying it was for them to leave their area or their circle or their environment of just blacks. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great point you made there. What advice do you have for people that are traveling with young children? I know you have a 6-year-old son, so
yeah.
How can you be on a plane for 12 hours with these kids? Like, how do you do it?
Have a plan. It's the same advice I gave the solo traveler. You got to have a plan. Yeah. So with young children, the big thing is, like, the time, you know, you want to make sure that when you're going somewhere that you leave enough time, like, because all the logistical stuff is what's going to mess you up when you have a young child and you're traveling with, right? So if you're thinking, all right, well, because they tell you to get to the airport 2 hours ahead of schedule if you're taking an international flight, 1 hour if you're going to take a domestic flight, right? And you're thinking, okay, you know what? I'm stuck in traffic, but it's all good. You know, I got time. As long as I get there for my international flight 1 hour, 45 minutes ahead of time, I'm okay. That'll be okay for you who's 30 years old, because you can run, you can pick up your luggage, you can, you know, run through the airport, you know, you're good, you know, you can get through, you know, you got all your paperwork, you can fly through, all that's easy. When you got a 5-year-old next to you, a 6-year-old next to you, you can't do that anymore, you know, just logistically. So it's the logistics that's gonna mess you up. Also, when you're traveling, like, you know, a lot of airline companies will tell you something like, okay, one check bag for free, the next check bag you got paid this much or something like that. Or, you know, if you want to go like a cheap with it, you might go with a company that says no check bags for free. But you're like, cool, because again, you, when you're 30, 35, you pack your stuff up in your little, you know, your carry-on, throw it on your back, and you're okay. When you got a little kid, it don't work like that. So, you know, you need more space for the kids stuff. If it's a baby, you need a stroller, you know, for the baby. So keep all that in mind when you're traveling, because like that's things people don't think about. And that's either an extra expense or extra time, which can cost you money, because, you know, time costs you money as you're traveling. So yeah, that would be my advice. It's just like, you know, the little things that you don't think about, keep all that in mind when you got a little one.
That's a great point. And I know you also are running a podcast, Travel and Turn Up. So I wanted to know how that got started.
More evolution, I guess, in the travel space. So in the last, obviously, so since starting Airbnb, since starting Local Travel Genius, and, you know, which is I work on now every day, in the last 2-3 years, I've met a ton of people in the travel space, the black travel space to be specific. So entrepreneurs who, like, you know, have started travel businesses, black entrepreneurs and travel businesses that have been successful, influencers, so the people that you see on social media, people that started movements that aren't necessarily companies, but just like Black and Abroad, for example. It's like movements like that aren't companies, like just in the travel space. And the black travel space has really kind of grown in the last like 10 years, right? So being within that space with my own brand, my own platform, obviously meeting a lot of these people, it occurred to me that we didn't have a platform in black travel for people to get their message out. I mean, people have their own individual platforms, but just like a general media one for people to get their message out to black travelers. So when I was going to Ghana last year for the Year of Return, in December, they had Afrochella, which is like, you know, the concert is crazy. Like, you know, with the, that is a crazy concert. They had Afro Nation, which is actually a UK version of like a black concert series, and they sell out stadiums and all that kind of stuff. They had Detty Rev, which is like also like a UK thing. Like it's like all these different like, you know, groups and people just doing like, so Ghana was pop, like Ghana was lit, like, you know what I mean, last December, and every day like there was things popping off. So like it was crazy because I was there and, you know, meeting people, talking to people, and I'm like, man, I wish there was a way for people to know that like travel doesn't have to be like boring. Because I was talking to an influencer, a travel influencer, who was saying that, you know, it's difficult for her to get people to try to travel, especially to like destinations like in Africa, like off the beaten path, because they're like, oh man, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna walk around and see like old buildings, or, you know, like what am I gonna do? I'm gonna go and just like, you know, like what, you know, what's, I'm gonna go to safari, like what am I gonna do? Like, you know, there. And it's like, nah, like there's actually like it's there. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's like that. Like it's really like, you know, cool, but there's no way to get that message across. So the idea of the podcast really was just for guests to come on and talk about what it, the cool shit that they're doing in black travel to get people to like go. Like, so you can be like, oh, yeah, man, Essence Fest is popping off, like, you know, next month. This dude comes on. He has an event every year. You know, 20,000 people attend this event at Essence Fest. Like, you know, that's cool. I'm going to get some tickets to it. I'm going to go. That was the whole idea behind Travel and Turn Up. And then when we started it, like, COVID hit. So it actually kind of changed into something a little bit different because, like, people weren't having events like that. Like, you know, people weren't being like, I mean, we're getting that going a little bit more now. But this is, like, you know, 6-7 months ago. People weren't having events like that. People weren't like, you know, having things to travel to. It wasn't like, oh, you know, we're about to have the Carnival, Trinidad and Tobago Carnival touchdown. Like, you know, wasn't happening. So what it turned into was just us still bringing these people on to talk about their events. But now we talk about like stuff within like black travel, like why, for example, you don't see as many black men traveling as you see black women. Why, for example, you know, it's really difficult for people in black countries to get like visas to go travel and visit different places, whereas you don't see that with European countries or Asian countries. Dealing with racism abroad, how that's changed, how that's different. For example, with the racism you might deal with in Europe is different from what you deal with here in the US. But then also you'll get to Africa and you'll deal with racism and that'll throw you off too. And it's like, but that's a little bit different. You know what I mean? And that's different from the racism you'll see in the Caribbean, because everyone just does, you know, life is just different everywhere. So we talk about things like that, like for the traveler to kind of like get comfortable and understand, like, you know, how to be better travelers as black people when travel opens a little bit back up. So that's kind of what we're doing there for Travel and Turn Up.
How often do you post on that podcast? Like what days?
Every week we post. So normally it's every like Tuesday and Saturday. But again, my co-host, so it's me. It's Tiffany Anderson from Away to Africa, which is the largest destination management company based, a woman-run destination management company based on the continent of Africa. So she's in Kenya right now, but normally she's out in South Africa, but she got caught in Kenya because of COVID. My other co-host is based in the UK. David Aliku, he runs Baba's Flight Club. They're like a big travel collective out of the UK. Every year they get thousands of people that fly to different, like, you know, destinations, and they just have like, you know, group trip travel, party things there. So the fact that we got somebody in the UK, somebody in Africa, and then me, of course, here in the States, like brings a different dimension. But it also causes problems with time differences and time zones. So like some days we'll be like, all right, we want to get this out on Tuesday. And Tiffany, because she's like 10 hours ahead, is like, wait a minute, my Tuesday or your Tuesday? And I'm like, oh my God. So like some guests is like things. So usually it's twice a week, sometimes once a week, depending on if we have a guest or not. And it's going to be Tuesday or Wednesday or Friday or Saturday, depending on who does the episode that week, because that depends on what the time zone is. So, yeah.
I love that. Cool. What has travel done for you in terms of culture and knowing your history?
Everything. Like, everything, man. Like, and the thing is, so the one thing travel does, I think, overall is it humbles you. You know, it really humbles you because, like, it, like, the thing about it, it don't matter, like, so you think, all right, man, I'm balling, I'm making good money, you know what I mean, I'm doing good, and then you'll go somewhere, and you'll meet somebody that's, like, really balling, like, you know what I mean, like, and you can do that without traveling, for sure, but to go somewhere and meet someone completely different than you, like, you know what I mean, that's really balling, or really doing it, or really doing something that, in your mind, you're like, it wouldn't be possible in your country, and in your mind, you're like, oh, that's really crazy, like, I never really thought about this, or or, you know, it just humbles you. Like, because the type of people you meet in the world, you realize that, you know, the world is not just about you. You know what I mean? It's not just about you. It's not just about the things you care about. It's not just about, like, you know, you just realize you're one small piece of a much larger puzzle. Even as a Black man, you know, what we deal with here in the U.S., again, it wasn't until it was normal to me. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when the Trayvon Martin verdict, when it came out, I remember at that time I felt like a sadness, but it was the sadness that I felt was that it was normal. The sadness that I felt was like, oh yeah, you know, that's great. Like, you know, even with Breonna Taylor recently, when we got the news of the non-indictments, it's like oh, okay, well, what else can you expect, right? Like, it's normal, like, that's just what happens. But yeah, it took me, when I'm in another country, like, you know, even being somewhere like Asia, for example, right, where there's not many Black people in Asia, so it's not like you're dealing with people who are, like, you know, used to Black people, and you'll talk at a bar or in a cab with a man, and he'd be like, yeah, you know, I'm very interested in your country because I don't understand why Black people are so mistreated in your country. And like, oh, you think Black people are mistreated? He's like, yeah, everyone knows that in America, white people don't like Black people. What do you mean? And I'm like, well, hold on. If it's obvious to you, why isn't it obvious to the dudes in America? But it changes how you think, because it's like, okay, so I see now, like, you know, I'm not going crazy. You know what I mean? Like, this shouldn't be normal. When I lived in Europe, I tell people all the time, the craziest thing that happened to me when I lived in Europe was that I felt cool with the police coming around me. Like, I felt cool. Like, I remember I had to go open a bank account so now I can use the euro, the local, you know, the money there, right? I walk into the bank account, but at the time, the dude who took me, because I didn't speak French at the time, I, you know, whatever, and the dude who took me, like, no, come on, we'll go just like that, you know, we'll just go like that. And I had on, like, some sweats and a hoodie and, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I was like, man, I'm about to walk in a bank like this and you know what I mean? Like, and ask them to open up some. He's like, yeah, don't worry, you're good. I walked in, man, and people were so nice to me. I was just like, yo, why is this man, like, you know, just helping me, so nice to me, blah, blah, like, you know, like, whatever. And he explains, like, oh, but why wait? He's like, you know, but you're American, so, you know, they're going to treat you like that or whatever, right? Like, you know, nice. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm Black. He's like, no, you're American before you're Black. That was wild to me, because in America, ain't nobody American for they Black. You know what I mean? Like, no one's ever like, oh, you're American for you're Black. And I'm like, yo, that's crazy. But again, it's it just opens your mind, because you meet different people and you yourself get put in different situations that you're like, oh, okay, wow, this is a big world out here. You know what I mean? The world is a big, big world out here. So I get it now.
Oh, man, that's good. I wanted to talk about Ghana.
Yeah.
You said you've been, right?
Yeah, I was just there last year.
Yeah, you went. So knowing just Americans that have been there, what have been, like, the biggest misconceptions that they thought about Africa that once they got there, they're like, oh, it's not what I thought?
I would say, so, I mean, I don't want to be rude, but I would say the biggest, so, all right, I'm going to be fair. Usually it's two types of people, right? So you have the type of person who is completely shocked that, like, oh, wow, y'all got internet in Africa? It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, wow, like, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, well, why did you think, oh, wow, people wear shoes out here? That's wild. I think that, like, that's kind of crazy. Like, you know, like, so you get that. You do get that, right? Like, and it's just like, but why would it, you know what I mean? Why wouldn't people wear shoes? Like, I don't know, like, you know, like, you get that, right? And I think that's a bad stereotype. So, like I said, you know, the world will humble you. That's a bad stereotype, though, that I do think that a lot of Americans and Black Americans get about Africa. Like, oh, you know, they think the worst about Africa. Because I would say on the other side, the other thing you get is a lot of Americans who never been, who feel like it's Wakanda before even getting there, right? And they think everything is the greatest. Like, oh, wow, what is this? Oh my God, this is like a sculpture of art. And you're like, bro, that's a trash can. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? So you do have like that side of it too, right? Like, you know what I mean? Where people are just like, everything's the greatest. Like, no, that's just the regular stuff you used to too, bro. Like, it's not, you know, things. So I think it's interesting where it's funny. But like I tell like my clients, like I took, you know, a group of people out there last year, it was their first time going. It's gonna be a group of people going this year in December, gonna be the first time going. Like I tell my clients, like, you know, you realize that the biggest, when I want you to go to Africa, I want you to bring something back with you about to the States, and not necessarily like automatically as a Black person going, you'll feel the connection with home, right? You'll feel like, okay, this is, you know, these are my brothers and sisters. People look like me. People think that I'm beautiful without me even doing anything. People treat me like a human being. People, when they see me, they automatically think I'm smart without, you know, I don't have to like talk like this or wear a suit or nothing like that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they don't think I'm dangerous. Like, you know, you get that just because you're in Africa. But what I want you to do, though, is I want you to take away the differences of why things are the way they are in Africa compared to why they are in the U.S. and then break that down in the U.S. Because I'll give you an example. I'll give you a perfect example, right? We were in Ghana, and like, there was like a bus, like, you know, like just a public transportation, like the bus picking people up, like they're into the next bus stop or whatever, to the next bus stop, right? So we're in front of the hotel and people are looking at the bus, you know, going or whatever, looking like, you know, like that or whatever. And one of the girls that was on the trip was made a comment, and she's like, damn, like, I can't believe I came all the way to Africa and it's still a bunch of people on the bus stop trying to haggle to get up on, you know, to try and, you know, use the bus. It was just something that she could connect to immediately because she was familiar with from, you know, being here in the States. Like, you know, the bus stop be long as hell. If you people on the bus, you know, fighting with each other to get on the bus, you know, just regular stuff, right? And I was telling her, I was like, yeah, the only big difference, though, is that the bus stop here where we were in Africa was literally like a bench, like a small, like, you know, bench with like mad trash around it. And like, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like a comfortable stop. And she said something crazy. She's like, yeah, that's just like how the bus stops are in the hood. And I was like, ding, 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 ding. Like, I want you to pay attention to how like money drives so much. So when people think, oh man, shit in Africa is poor and is whatever, it's just like a lack of capital. And that lack of capital, that lack of investment is something that on both sides of the Atlantic, so us in the US, you know, we can do something about that. And then us in Africa, we can do something about that too. Like, we can connect is what I'm saying, right? Yeah. So what you see is a lot of times when people come for the first time, then they go, oh, I want to go back. Or I wonder how much it is to own property. Or I wonder how much it is to open a business. And I want you thinking like that. I want you to, when you get there, I want you to bring back with you, like, yo, you know what? I can start something up. And it's going to, like, you know, and I can start a business, or I can connect, or something even as simple. I was with my sister. We were in Liberia. And, like, it was like an old house, ranch, mansion thing or whatever that they converted into a school. So we were walking through. So, you know, the headmaster of the school was like, oh, do you guys want to see? We can show you, like, you know, school. So walking through the school, seeing the school, and, you know, we realized, like, you know, they need things like chalkboards and, like, you know, textbooks and, like, you know, like little things like that or whatever, right? And my sister immediately, when she came back to the States, started like a drive where she collected money and chalkboards and things like that and sent it right back to the school. And in that time, they've now built a relationship where every year she's giving supplies or things to help the school and scholarships and things like that. And I'm like, that's beautiful. You didn't just go eat some good food, took some pictures for the gram, and came back and whatever. Like, I want you to bring back with you, like, more than just the feeling of home. I want you to bring back with you something substantial that's like, okay, you know what? Like, I think that for our future, you don't have to do a charity thing for school. I'm not talking like that. But even something as simple as you looking to invest in some property, there's beachfront property all around. Like, West Africa's on the beach all around West Africa that you can invest in. Like, you know, start thinking about it that way. You looking to invest in the business, a little bit of money, because that's the thing. You want to invest in the business here in the States, and you need a lot of money to start, you know, doing big investments into like Coca-Cola or something like that, right? But there's businesses getting off the ground in Africa that you might know a lot about that a little bit of investment can get you in, partnering with somebody, figuring some stuff out. Like, you know, so I want you to, when you go, I always tell my clients, like, yes, I want you to really, you know, feel something internally about where you are, but I want you to look around. I want you to see, like, you know what, how, you know, there's things that we can work with here, like, you know, that we can help each other with here. Like, how can I take what I see here back with me to the U.S. and do something about it moving forward?
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And there are a lot of people that are stuck in America in jobs that they don't like, that they don't want, that don't fulfill them. So what advice can you give to those people that want to leave their 9-to-5 and start their entrepreneurship life, but they really don't know where to start or how to start?
Well, it depends what kind of entrepreneurs you want to be. But the first piece of advice is get started. If you haven't started yet, get started. Like, if you're just going to work and you're like, you know what, I'd love to do this. Maybe you wrote out like a little bit of a business plan, but not really. Maybe you just bookmark some links. You're like, oh, I'm going to come and watch this, you know, YouTube later or whatever. Get started. Like, even if it's like, you know, 2 hours a night, every other night, you know, or 5 hours on the weekend, you know, and that's just all you can put towards it right now. That's cool. But get started, because once you get started, a couple of things will happen. Things will either open up for you where you'll be like, okay, this is really like my bag. This is really like what I'm good at. And opportunities will open up for you, or you'll figure out, nah, this isn't it. You know, this is way more than it's worth or whatever. So my piece of advice to any entrepreneur that wants to get started is get started. If you have started and, like, you know, you're doing the side hustle thing and things like that, is you really got to dive in. Like, it's not for play, I guess is where I'm taking it, right? Like, and I don't mean in terms of, like, I just mean in terms of your focus and your commitment. So when, you know, you talk to people that have been like, yeah, you know, I started my business, you know, a little side hustle and something simple. Let's say I make little trinkets or something, like earrings or something like that. You know what I mean? I do jewelry, I make earrings, and people buy it on my online store or something, like a little side hustle, something like that. And then you ask them, like, all right, well, you know, like, what are your goals for this? Like, well, I want to open my own earring store. I have bigger dreams than this. I want to you know, sell it in a market and things like that. Like, all right, well, have you researched the type of markets that you would want to sell it in? Nah. All right. Have you, have you seen other businesses do this that, you know, maybe you can follow their footsteps? Nah, but I mean, I like this business on Instagram, so I follow them. But nah, I just, you know, like their photos when they come up. And it's like, okay, well, look, if you started this and it's a side hustle and you're serious about it, you really got to dive in. You got to, like, throw yourself into, like, you know, competitors, like, you know, people that have done this before. Follow them on all social media. Try to link up with them. Like, you know, like, you know, write them, ask them questions. Attend, because the thing is, a lot of people, especially now in the COVID time, people are doing Zoom and webinars about everything, right? Yeah. I'm in the I've been in the travel space for like 5 years now. I've attended, so every week I'm attending a travel webinar with a CEO or an executive, because I'm like, you know what, I need to learn more information. Like, what's new that's happening in the industry? Who can I connect with? How am I doing something that can add value, you know, for my business that I'm trying to grow? But like I said, you got to have, it's a mentality thing. So if you haven't gotten started yet, just get started, because you can figure out if it's for you or if it's not for you. If you've gotten started and it's for you, but you're trying to take it to the next level, it's a mentality thing at that point. You got to dive in, and you got to, like, really, it has to be your full-time job in every sense of the word.
Absolutely. And you were saying that you have a package coming up for the Ghana trip?
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, so I do, in December. So, you know, travel has been up and down. It's been in and out, like, you know, as you know, for the year. But they've just kind of announced that they've opened up travel in West Africa. So Ghana opened up travel at the beginning of September. And Afrocella just announced that they're going to have an Afrocella a concert this year in December. Afro Nation announced as well that they're going to have something. So it seems like it's a go right now for Ghana. Now, the one thing I remember is that Ghana has had less cases of COVID than every single state, individual state in the United States of America. So in terms of, like, the risk from COVID is very, very low, because they haven't had a lot of cases. They haven't had a lot of deaths. So basically, like, you know, as far as when you get there, dealing, like, you know, with that African sun and that, you know, that beautiful landscape and something about the air, I don't know, but COVID didn't run as rampant there as it did in other places. So from a safety perspective, you know, we should be really good. But yeah, we're having a concert. We're having, like, all this stuff. Come and see the land, like, you know, the Elmira Castle, where you can kind of see the door of no return, where the slaves took their last march and got on the ships and traveled. And then that's when the last of our ancestors kind of got on the ships and traveled that long, long journey, which 400 years ago has brought us to today. Like, those castles and stuff are still standing in Ghana. Like, you can walk through them. You can walk through where they held the same steps where they held the slaves and the chains. You can do that in Ghana. jungle forest with waterfalls, beautiful, beautiful, picturesque waterfall. You can stand underneath the waterfall like this, like in the movie. Water jumping on top of you, fine. You can do that in Ghana. Lagoons, like you can see clear through the water, like, you know, they got that. So we have an entire 1 week life-changing experience where you, every single day, you're partying, litty. I mean, the time of your life with Black people from all over the world. So not just in the U.S., in the U.K., in Canada, in other parts of Africa, Australia, all come to Ghana at the end of the year in December. So yeah, definitely, you know, we have a little thing going, and I'm proud of it. So like, I implore people, man, check us out, check it out for sure.
So in order for people to sign up, they have to join the Local Travel Genius.
Just go to Local Travel. You don't have to join anything. Just go to Local Travel Genius. Yeah. You can request a concierge. So it's right there in the chat line. Request a concierge free of charge. Concierge hits you back. You say, hey, I'm looking for an itinerary. They work with you for an itinerary. And then you get, you know, you see the price for it. You pay it. And your whole trip is set. Everything from soup to nuts, A to Z. Your ticket, your security. Even if, like I was just saying about the cell phone thing, they take care of cell phones for you. What type of Wi-Fi you want? You want the super strong joint? You don't want super. Take care of all that. What type of hotel do you want? Do you want just like a hotel with just a room and nothing else? Or do you want the suite with, like, you know, the room and the this and the that and the other? Everything set up for you. So yeah, like, you know, just check us out, localtravelgenius.com. Free of charge, come in, and, you know, you don't got to do nothing. We take care of the rest.
Awesome. What has been your favorite place that you traveled to?
So I'm going to get in trouble because I'm African. I'm Nigerian.
You're not going to say Nigeria.
I'm not going to say Africa. I know. I'm going to get in trouble. They're going to be mad. They're going to be mad.
Remind me how to say your last name while you're at it.
Ihemeka.
Ihemeka.
Yeah. Ihemeka. Yeah, so they're gonna be a little bit upset, but I'm gonna go ahead and say Brazil, because to date, Brazil is still the best place that I've ever traveled to. It had everything that I loved, you know. And the thing about Brazil that was great for me, personally, is that just the different shades of melanin, the beautiful Black people that you just see in Brazil. It's like walking through, especially for me as an American, and an African, is like walking through like a history book, you know what I mean? Because you have people from all different types of shades, and then Brazil is also a very old country where they have the monuments up to their slave trade. And their slave trade in a lot of ways was just like our slave trade, you know what I mean? Like, to the point that they had plantations and the colonial houses and like all like that. So the history of Brazil is very live, but yet somehow it's more Black people there than there are white people, which is different than America, right? It's a little bit different. So there's all these different shades of brown and Black people walking around. The food is amazing. The weather is amazing. The music is amazing. Culture is amazing. I loved Brazil when I was there. So every time I go, I'm like, this is my place. So I'm going to say that.
Oh, that's good. That's so good. What do you love most about having your own travel company?
That's a good question. What do I love most? Actually, you know what? The best thing about having, and I guess it's not necessarily just travel, a travel company, it's going to be any company, but for me, the best joy I get out of having a travel company is putting money directly in the local hands, like directly in the hands of you know, people in the industry locally. Because, you know, so what people don't realize that I think is really interesting is, like, you know, they always say, oh, well, you know, Black travel's $40 billion, $50 billion industry, like, you know, that's Black travel. What people don't realize is that Expedia, the company that owns Expedia, owns 30% of the travel space in general. Like, the money they make in general is so, like, when people say, oh, the Black travel dollar is high, we don't own any airlines. We don't own major hotel chains. Mm-hmm. We don't own major rental car companies. So think of any trip that you take, right? The three biggest expenses are your airline costs, your hotel costs, and if you go and rent a car. Those are like the three biggest expenses that you have, like, you know, when traveling. Black people don't own none of that, like, generally speaking. You know what I mean? So when people say, oh, there's all this money in the Black travel space, they gotta understand that off the top, that's taxed to white companies, essentially, right? So towards white wealth. So then what's left over is the things that you can do, like, you know, where do you spend your money locally when you're there? That's why I like to big up events so bad, because I'm like, you know what? At least I know this event company is owned by a black person who's trying to do like, you know, who's trying to do something different. Like, you know, Essence Fest is owned by black people. The vendors at Essence Fest are black people. So I always big up like events because I'm like, if you go there, at least you can put money, you know, directly in the hands of black people in the industry. So that's my favorite thing about owning a travel company is that I get to work now with local people when I do my various things that I'm doing. And I don't necessarily have to only work with like, you know, large or white companies.
Makes a lot of sense, actually. What are some of your characteristics or skills that you have that make you a successful business owner in these times?
That's a hard question to answer. First, define success. No.
Well, you're not shut down.
Hey. Yeah. That's good. No. And I thank God for that. No, we're blessed for sure. I would say the skills. At the end of the day, you know what I always tell people that we work with and that work for us is that travel is a discretionary income business, right? And when I remember a few years ago when I first started pitching to investors and trying to get investors, and they tell me that, right? They'd say, well, you know, I'm only interested in investing in businesses that are like, you know, fundamental, that, you know, there's not discretionary need. I get insulted. I'd be like, what you mean? I was like, you got to travel. You know what I mean?
It's absolutely.
But I get it. I do. I mean, I understand the point that at the end of the day, especially now with the unfortunateness that happened this year, a lot of people lost their job. A lot of people lost their income. There's a lot of uncertainty this year. And the first thing that went is the travel plans, right? Like, if you're not sure you're going to pay rent next month, there's no way you're going to pay the money to take a trip to Jamaica or something like that, right? I mean, at least you shouldn't. But
unless you move in there or something.
Unless you move in there, you know. But like, yeah, so, you know, looking at it like that, I was like, you know, I realize now that it's a privilege when people take their dollar towards your company for travel, right? And because of that, you have to make sure then that you're doing the best to respect that dollar that they're giving you. And I think that we do that. I think that we do that as a company. I think that I do that as an individual when talking with people within the space, because, you know, at the end of the day, people only pay money for travel because it's experiences is a feel good thing, right? It's to feel good. So if I'm, exactly, right? If I'm paying my money to you for like this trip and stuff like that, and you're stressing me, I'm stressed. I'm depressed. I'm disappointed. I get there. I hate it. I'm fighting with you over every dollar. I get back. I got to claim for this and claim for that. Like, your business is going to go like that. You know what I mean? Because it's you know, people always, they're going to spend their money based on how they feel about your company, about your brand, about you. So I think one of the things that's helped me be successful during this period is that, you know, the old tenets of treat people how you want to be treated. Always try to respect and prioritize the customer. So there's all these different things within business, just good old-fashioned business and relationships that I try to uphold to and adhere to, and I think that adhere to, and I think that you know, that's kind of helped me, because I think people remember that, and I think that as people are looking to get back into traveling, they're now going back into, okay, what made me feel great? What experiences made me feel good? And for example, the people that went to Ghana last year, that made them feel really good. They want to do it again this year. So yeah, I think that's probably it.
Awesome. I know we were briefly talking about the cultures of America, especially minorities, because we don't really have a unified culture. Mm-hmm. We all have different belief systems. We all do things differently, socioeconomics. We're different on every level, right? So we were talking about a unified front, mm-hmm. and how we don't want to be unified only by our traumas, what you were saying. And you were saying that travel is a great way for us to unify. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I you know, again, like, I was just talking about Brazil. There's a lot about blackness that is true for me, because I grew up in the U.S. I grew up in Baltimore. Like, so there's things that I just know off top about what it means to be white and what it means to be black. But for someone who grew up in Rio, in Brazil, that don't necessarily make that true. You know what I mean? And I think it's always a very interesting thing. And on the podcast, we talked about this. A good example on the podcast that we talked about is Trevor Noah from The Daily Show.
Yeah,
exactly. South Africa. He's half black and he's half white. And yeah. I said it's interesting because in the States, anybody seeing that man, all Brit would be like, yeah, he's a black man. You know, you don't got to think twice. It is what it is. I mean, that, you know, it is. But you go to a lot of places. So, for example, in West Africa, in Nigeria, I had a friend, half black, half white, really, really light skinned though, like Trevor Noah, a little bit lighter maybe. And they call him a white man. First time, oh, yeah, who's this white guy with you? And I'm like, you think he white? And like, they're like, oh, he's not. And then the funny thing is you go to Brazil and they call, you know, they have different words for him, mulatto or brown or like, you know, they have different words for it. But they won't necessarily call them black or white. You know what I mean? And that's just one example of how, like, you wouldn't know that if you didn't meet people from these different cultures. If you didn't discuss with people from these different, if you didn't talk to them. If you didn't say like, okay, so if you got all these different levels of blackness in your country, how are you still dealing with racism? And now you understand. Because now the same way, yes, you do, but the people at the bottom are treated the worst. And there's still white people that are treated the best. And the white people, the people who are white from Europe own 70% of the wealth in the country still, even though they're 5% of the population. So there's things that you kind of understand and you're like, oh, okay, I got you, that you can only get from travel. And I think that, you know, my mission in general is just to kind of like, you know, advance black people as a whole. I love to see black people healthy. I love to see us happy, unified. I think, you know, when we're happy, we're beautiful, you know, even sometimes when we're not happy, we're beautiful. So I love to see that. And I think that, you know, the first step to that is to meet each other around the world, figure out how we can help each other, what we can learn from each other and move forward, I think, as a unified people.
Awesome. I want to get into our extremely opinionated speed round. So I'm
going to ask you
a few questions, but I just want you to tell me the first answers that come to your mind, all right?
All right.
You ready?
I hope so. Let me put myself up. All right. Off the cuff. Let's do it. All right, let's go. I'm ready.
They're not too difficult. Don't worry. Ready? All right. I'm starting now. Okay. Favorite food you discovered while traveling?
Thai food hopped in my head. I don't know what to even call it because it's like a fried rice, but it was like the in between a rice and a noodle. I don't know what it was, but that joint was spicy with some shrimp. Let me tell you, that popped in my head immediately. I was like, well, I was in Thailand. I had some food, some fried rice. That was it. So yeah, I'm gonna say that.
I love spicy food.
I'm gonna say that.
All right. What's your favorite show or book that everyone should check out?
Favorite show or book? Oh my God! Now you really caught me. Because I was thinking of a show, and I was like, oh no, y'all need to watch this. This is cool. Oh man! Now you caught. You know what show I've been watching? I've been watching because it's on top of my mind. I've been watching Lovecraft Country because it's on top of my mind, and it's a little bit. So it's like sci-fi, so it's a little bit weird. Like I was like, yo, what am I watching? But I'm not gonna lie to you, like it's it caught me. I love the blackness of it. So I tend to like consume a lot of like black media in terms of like books and TV and movies. So I'm definitely gonna recommend that, because like that Lovecraft Country would be my recommendation. Everyone need to go ahead and check that out. HBO.
Dope. Okay. Next question is, should you exchange your money at the airport or just use your cards when traveling?
Depends where you're gonna go. I'm not gonna say never, but for the most part, you don't need to exchange your money at the airport. So really the question that you need to ask yourself is, should I get money at an ATM where I'm going, bring money to exchange in the black market, depending on where I'm going, or use my card where I'm there? And that answer depends on where you're going. But I would say whatever the opposite of money at the airport is what you should pick, because you really shouldn't be, the money at the airport, they always get you on the fees and that stuff. So you really shouldn't be doing that.
If I have a 12-hour flight, should I sleep before or sleep on the plane?
I have problems sleeping on the plane personally. So I try to get myself as tired as possible, because I think that would just help me sleep more. But if I sleep before, I'm gonna be up that entire 12-hour flight. There's no way I'm sleeping on the plane. So I'm gonna say try and sleep on the plane. Try and do what you can.
I'm sorry, that was funny. I don't know if I'm it depends on if I'm traveling with somebody, because I'm like, if I'm sleeping on a plane by myself, I'm kind of like, I don't know.
you think the steward is gonna throw the blanket on you? What you think gonna happen?
That's funny. And the last question is the safest way to stay to not get robbed.
Be a 6 foot black man. I don't know. man, the safest way to not get rocked. Hey, don't be flashy, I guess. I don't know. Don't make yourself a target. Maybe that's the best way to say it is don't make yourself a target. No, actually, I do have a story about this, though. Okay, so I was in, so this is in Nigeria. So I was in Africa still. This is Nigeria, right? And anyone that's been to Nigeria, has been to Lagos, knows that the clubs in Nigeria are better than clubs pretty much anywhere else in the world, right? Like, it's a real, like, Lagos parties are for real, like, if you know, you know. Let me put it like that, right? And the clothes be jumping. And, like, you know, it's like that. That's why when Cardi went to Nigeria, that's why she didn't want to come back talking about she wanted to be Nigerian. Because, you know, she got there, right? Like, nah, if you know, you know. So, it's outside the club. The club's not even over. Like, it's just taking a break because it's hot inside. So, you know, we just out, you know, chilling. The club's not over, like, you know, in front of the club, right? So, this dude, he'll come in. Clearly, either he's American or he just came from America because he had the freshest and newest Yeezys I have ever seen. Like, I mean, his joints was so crisp and fresh. I was like, my dude, like, you came straight from the store, like, into, like, Nigeria with these joints or whatever, right? And, like, but we're in front of the club. And it's not, I mean, the Yeezys caught my eye, but it's not just the Yeezys, it's the everything. It's the Yeezys, he got the, like, you know, little pinky ring action there, you know, I mean, I like my chains too, but his joint was, you know, and we're in, you know, we're in Nigeria, we're in, it's a third world country. And I'm just looking at this guy just like, and it's not even like he just got it on and he's chilling, right? He got it on, he's being loud, you know what I mean? He, you know, he just, you know, he's out there. And I'm just like, my God, you making yourself a target. Next thing I know, we went inside, came out for a little bit. Next thing I know, it's like a ruckus in front, the joint. Like, he, like, shing like that. He break off running. I see some other people break off running. Someone said they robbed him, and they ran, so he's chasing after them. And I was like, see, you made yourself a target. Now them boys like, hold on, man. You know what I mean? I need to get something off your neck. So that's my advice. When going, don't make yourself a target.
Man, that's so true, especially if you're by yourself.
Especially if you're by yourself in a country that you don't know. Yes.
Mos Def has a song about that. I think it's called This Is How You Get Got. Like, listen, that's what the whole song is about. That's what they do. They flashy and then they wonder how they get robbed because they think, oh, nobody's going to rob me. A lot of black men in their ego sometimes, I notice that sometimes. And then those be the ones where I've seen a couple things happen. Mm-hmm. And they were by themselves. And I'm like, ooh, tough.
Hey, it is, you know, everyone wants to try themselves, you know, everyone wants to be the tough guy. I mean, we grew up in this culture, so, you know, you already know what it's like and where it comes from. So I'm not mad at it, but, you know, it could go wrong. Like Dave Chappelle said, keeping it real could go wrong. So, you know,
I'm sorry about my background noise because I am sitting outside.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So, you're absolutely right, man. I tell my black men too. We're talking about the solo travelers because you do see a lot of black men now, not a lot, but more than the media will lead you to believe, do travel by themselves. And what you just said is so true. They'll be like, man, I'm in, you know, you can name the country, right? They'll be like, man, I'm tough. Ain't like tough here, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, like, man, I'm in Belgium. What's in Belgium, dog? I'm tough. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, I get you. I'm not saying, like, you know, Belgium got the biggest gangsters in the world, da 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 da. But Belgium do got some hungry dudes too. Like, you know, like this dudes is hungry in the street in Belgium as well. So, you know, you putting up, you know, it can be a bad situation for you. So, oh, see, that's my background now. I'm outside. I got the thing open. That's my background now. No, you're absolutely right. The ego thing, like, you know, you trying to be tough and somewhere away from home, like it don't make no sense. Even somewhere closer to home. Like, I know dudes from Philly, you know what I mean? They go to New York, start acting tough for no reason. It's not even their hood. It's like, bro, yep. Like, what are you doing? So.
And vice versa. It's not where you from, it's where you at. You gotta know how to act where you are. You know
right, you know what I'm saying? I know you absolutely right about that for sure.
Some people are only good in their hood, but they think that means everywhere. That's not true. I'm just seeing some things.
Is a Visa card accepted everywhere you want to be?
us. All right, I appreciate this today. Do you have any final words you want to leave the audience with and tell them how they can find you and get on your site and get you traveling?
Yeah, for sure. So Local Travel Genius, like I, you know, some people, you know, I'm full-time on that. And we are really building the future of travel. You know, so it can be something where you can travel by yourself. It can be private, but at the same time, giving you a luxury experience at a economy cost, you know? So localtravelgenius.com, localtravelgenius.com. Find us on social media as well. And also the podcast. I'm definitely going to big up the podcast, Travel and Turn Up, only because, you know, this first year, we've had Grammy winners on the joint, actors, entrepreneurs, people that own their businesses, companies, people in media, really, really big in media. So I'm like, I'm excited that, you know, we get people that are really like at the top of their professions that are young and black talking about traveling the world and meeting other young and black people wherever they are. So Travel and Turn Up, travelandturnup.com, or check us out on social media or wherever you get your podcast, you know, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, whatever, Travel and Turn Up. So I'm going to big up those two things. Check us out.
Awesome. And yeah, just, I have met like the closest people to me traveling, ironically. So I just think just learning different cultures and history and meeting new people, it really expands your horizon and it's necessary. So I'm really glad that you're here to assist the people.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. And I love talking about it. I love traveling. Like I told you, like I was really hurt this year that, you know, all the plans went up in smoke. So I was able to sneak out. I got to Jamaica. So I got to Jamaica at the end of August into the beginning of September. So I was able to get out of the country for a little bit. But normally I'm taking like 4 or 5 trips out the year, in the year out of the country. So, you know, it was a little bit hurtful, but you know, hopefully get back on it and hopefully get back to normal sooner rather than later.
Yeah, absolutely. My mindset has changed. My perspective on life has changed the more I interact with people and travel. Because you just see things differently. You get to see things from other people's perspectives, and they don't think anything like you. Mm-hmm. So it's so many great things about travel. And now that the borders are opening up, I plan on getting back out there, going everywhere. So hopefully I can see you on this Ghana trip. We'll see.
Yeah, no, hopefully, yeah, let's get it going, you know. I'm trying to get as many black people there as possible. Last year, I think they said in December they had 50 or 60 thousand people that flew in directly just like in that month. And I think they said overall the city increased in size by like something like 300,000 or 400,000 people. So basically a whole another city came and sat on top of the city, and everyone that came in was black from another place in the world. So it's like, if you don't know about it by now, it's the biggest secret that you don't know about. As a black traveler, get to Ghana in December, get to Africa in December. They call it Dirty December, you know, but that Dirty December, man, that's a different vibe. Get over there. I'm telling you, that's a life-changing vibe. When you get there, you're like, oh, I see what they were talking about now. I got it.
And thank you all for tuning in. Culture for Freedom, extremely opinionated podcast, and we hope to talk to you guys soon.